jacket, blue jeans, and sandals made from car tires. Only one sandal was still on a foot. The other, and the foot inside it, were missing. Pushing aside the homemade tan jacket, Doc uncovered a picture on the corpse's exposed chest of a curved knife backed by the rising sun.
What is that?
Jack squinted against the candlelight.
Huh. Knife and sun?
Looks like.
Ryan tried to rub it off with a thumb.
It's not paint. Can't be a birthmark.
Mildred brushed fingertips over the cold, torn flesh.
This is a tattoo. A lost art these days. See the ulcerations and pitting? It was done with a sharp pencil and machine oil. Very crude and must have hurt worse than double hell.
Some sort of initiation?
Mayhap. And, more importantly, very difficult for an outsider to forge. Good way to identify your own people.
Mildred inspected the lividity of the flesh.
Not exactly a photo ID, but efficient.
Exactly.
ID means more than two.
JB glanced about.
Yes, it could be a lot.
Christy held her S&W in a steady grip and dumped the spent cartridges, trained hands pocketing the spent brass and sliding in fresh rounds. Ryan scratched his chin.
Wonder if the others had similar marks. If not, they were probably invaders fighting for turf. If so, it was a mutiny.
Internecine. The most uncivil of wars.
Doc gently prodded the corpse with his sword stick, a few more pieces coming off from the movement.
However, it would be rather valuable data to know if we are facing two gangs or just one.
I can check.
Mildred pulled a flashlight from her med kit. There was a click, and a brilliant cone of white light leaped from the device in her hands, illuminating the corridor with unforgiving clarity.
Go.
Mildred nodded.
Be right back.
As she hurried away, the circle of light on the hallway walls bobbed until it angled to the right and disappeared. With the departure of the flash, the darkness seemed even more pronounced than before.
How'd she get batteries?
Doesn't need any. When you were at school, Mildred saved the life of the captain of a steamboat. He gave her the flash as payment. It doesn't use batteries. Recharges in sunlight.
Wow.
Jack passed the boy his own candle.
Here. Hold high.
Dean did as requested, and the albino teen carefully rummaged through the pockets of the dead man. There was some twine knotted into a garrote, a big gold coin embossed with an American eagle on one side, and a Nazi swastika on the back. A few 5.7mm cartridges, a Swiss Army knife, and a plastic butane lighter, the clear plastic reservoir half full of fuel. He pocketed the lighter and offered the rest to the others. Even though they were the wrong caliber for his Browning, Dean took the cartridges and stuffed them into his already bulging vest. He could extract the powder and primer later for his own bullets. Doc accepted the knife. Nobody took the gold. Doc opened and closed the many small blades.
Amazing little thing. My daughter would have loved this. She so liked gadgets and such. My. I wonder where she, Jolyon, and her mother are. It has been hours since I saw them last.
Ryan looked at Christy, and she moved closer to the old man.
They'll be along soon. You wait here.
Doc pocketed the knife.
Yes, of course. I would not want to miss them. We are going for a picnic down by the river.
Just then, a faint light appeared down the corridor.
Heads up.
Ryan snapped his rifle into a combat position. The rest assumed a half circle, blasters ready. As if awakening from a long dream, Doc put his back to the wall and drew the Lamar, the fog of memories clearing from his face.
Same marks. Knife and sun.
Mildred switched off her flash when she reached them. His face masked by the moving candle shadows. Ryan frowned deeply and glanced about.
So, it seems that a gang somehow gained entrance into the redoubt and fought each other to the death. But why? Over what?
Armory.
I don't think so. These boys have old weapons. Nothing new from military storage.
Reasonable. I would not be surprised to find out there's nothing here of value.
Yet they fought to the death over something.
Maybe it was for the redoubt itself. It's a natural fort that no present-day marauders could ever breach by force.
Which raises the question, how did they get in? The front door is nuke-proof and locked with a code.
Let's go find out. Ryan cleared the action of his SSG-70. Shoot anything that moves, but try and wound if you can.
Right. We want these assholes alive for questioning.
As the Seven moved to the end of the corridor, the candles revealed the elevator was totally destroyed, its metal frame twisted in wild shapes. The ceiling was bare struts and wiring, the tiles gone, and the terrazzo floor was cracked like hot glass dropped into cold water. The doors to the stairwell were torn apart, but the metal steps on the other side were still intact. Ryan pointed at JB, Doc, and Jack to go down. Then he tapped his bare wrist, flashed 5 fingers 3 times, and pointed upward. Next, he pointed at Christy, himself, Dean, and Mildred. They nodded, and the group split apart, 3 heading downward, 4 going up, as quietly as possible. Moving along the stairs, Ryan and his people kept to the side of the steps, where the metal would be the strongest and least likely to make noise. Old wood might occasionally creak by itself, just adjusting to temperature and moisture. But old metal was silent, until you stepped where age and rust had weakened it. Then steel would squeal louder than pigs getting butchered by an amateur. Pausing at the first landing, they listened intently, but no sounds disturbed the graveyard peace of the redoubt. Satisfied, they moved on. The doorway to the next level stood gaping open, faint light spilling from the hallway beyond. In a 2-on-2 rotation formation, they proceeded in, Christy stepping to one side past the door to allow Ryan to pass her. As he went to the wall, Dean came in fast and crouched low on the floor. Mildred entered last and replaced Christy at the door, covering their rear as the redhead glided past Dean. Staying alert, watching one another's backs, they covered the entire floor, prepared for another trap or ambush. This level of the redoubt proved to be the barracks, every door bearing an empty slot for a nameplate. Each small room was equipped with a single bed, closet, desk, sink, shower, and rotting corpse. Some were lying in the middle of the floor with bullet wounds in their foreheads, some with arrows through their chests. A body was found in the closet, gut-stabbed. Another was sprawled in the hallway, his body almost cut in two by a shotgun blast. But most of the slain were lying peacefully in bed, their throats slashed, the blankets stiff with dried brown blood.
Night creeps. Shoes on the floor, blasters under their pillows. These boys were caught by surprise.
Mostly. Remember that guy in the hallway?
Same tattoos.
Dean let a blanket drop back into place.
These were part of the same group?
Heads up.
Ryan eased open a closet with the tip of his rifle. Instantly, there was a twang, and out shot an arrow. It streaked across the room to slam into the dead man in the bunk. The corpse jerked at the impact, and the Navy SEAL knife in his withered hand dropped to the floor.
And it seems as if a few knew something was happening, but most didn't.
The leaders?
Mildred eyed the knife without interest. She already had a green beret blade. Grunting assent, Ryan briefly inspected the contents of the closet. Hanging neatly on racks were blue and gold military uniforms, the creases as sharp as razors, the buttons gleaming with polish.
These are Air Force dress uniforms.
Cradling her SNW-38 on a crooked elbow, Christy furrowed her brow.
But the last couple of rooms held Green Army fatigues.
A combined military base?
Never heard of that before, but why not?
Ryan made no reply, keeping his own counsel.
Strange there are no women.
Maybe the leaders did the killing. It's happened before.
A metallic noise from the hallway made everybody drop behind furniture, and they waited quietly until 2 sharp short whistles sounded. Leveling his long blaster at the partially closed door, Ryan whistled once, long and low. A few seconds later, his call was repeated exactly. They relaxed and stood as JB, Jack, and Doc entered the room. Ryan shouldered the rifle.
Anything?
We found the 5th level burned to the walls. The sort of damage done by bathtub Molotov cocktails. Very crude stuff, gasoline and soap flakes. The 6th held the armory in storage. That was full of corpses and more traps. I had to cope with 2 on the stairwell, a tripwire at the door, a grin attached to a light switch, and a crossbow hidden in the...
closet?
Crapper. You had some of the same, eh?
Ryan nodded grimly. Doc pulled close a chair and checked underneath it before sitting.
Kitchen was also clean. There was not so much as a potato peel or egg.